Our scripture today comes from Mark chapter 14, the first passage beginning with verse 27. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. And then in Mark 14, beginning with verse 66, we read, "While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. 'You were also with that Nazarene Jesus,' she said, but he denied it. 'I don't know or understand what you're talking about,' he said, and he went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she again said to those standing around, 'This fellow is one of them.' Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, 'I don't know this man you're talking about.' Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times,' and he broke down and wept." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comment section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do so on the website or the Christ Church app. Well, we continue to pray for the people of Ukraine and an end to this war. We have a match effort toward relief contributions to Ukraine through our United Methodist Committee on Relief. Go online and check the newsletter for that. We pray for those in Ukraine, and we continue to pray for one another as well. There is nothing like it when believers come together and pray for each other and all people in need everywhere. Amen. Amen. As we continue our series, Jesus Encounters, we've seen that Jesus knew what awaited him in Jerusalem. He was very clear with his disciples. He would be persecuted and killed and yet somehow rise again. And yet, Jesus willingly chose the way of sacrifice, the way of the cross for us. What an amazing expression of Jesus' love and compassion. He knew what was coming and willingly gave his life up for you and me. And we've seen that Jesus also had compassion and love for the people that he encountered along the way. He came into contact with many different people in many different circumstances, yet his impact on their lives was dramatic. And it's still that way today. You know, when you discover the truth about Jesus, your life, too, can be changed. If you and I purpose to find Jesus, to seek to know all there is to know about him, if we purpose to know the truth about him and pursue that, we, too, will be impacted. Each week, we've talked about someone's encounter with Jesus. And last week, in considering Judas' story, we were reminded that even though we might know Jesus, we still have to choose how we will follow him. In the end, Judas chose not to fully embrace Jesus and his mission, but to turn away from it. His was a story of tragic discipleship. Our story for today revisits that same truth. Peter was another one of Jesus' disciples who was faced with a choice. In the heat of the moment during Jesus' late night trial, he was confronted with a decision that he made and then immediately regretted. Have you ever done that? Made a split-second decision that you instantly regretted? That happens in life. Story is told of one guy who said, "I told my wife that a husband is like a fine wine. He gets better with age." The next day, she locked me in the cellar. Regrets. We have them. Peter had them. And yet, in the midst of his pain and regret, Peter discovered some wonderful things about Jesus. What can we say about Peter? Simon Peter was the unofficial leader of Jesus' disciples. Type leader in the chat. Simon was nicknamed Petra or Peter by our Lord. That name means one who is rock-like or solid or dependable. It's the same as calling someone rock or rocky. The other disciples must have laughed at that nickname. Simon was the opposite of rock-like. He was unpredictable, volatile, and impulsive. Peter was a leader, no doubt about that. He was big, he was strong, a man's man. The Bible tells us on one occasion, Peter grabbed a fishing net filled with 153 large fish, and he just manhandled that haul all by himself. Hollywood was right to name him the Big Fisherman. You gotta like Peter. I mean, from the moment he met Jesus on the seashore, Peter recognized something was different about him. His passion and zeal in following Jesus was something to behold as well. It was Peter, remember, who rebuked Jesus when Jesus spoke of his coming death. It was Peter who got out of the boat and began walking on the water toward Jesus. It was Peter who declared that even if he had to die, he would never disown Jesus. You got to admire Peter for his passion and boldness in following Jesus. Today I want us to consider the episode that was surely the lowest moment in Peter's life. Before this moment, he had projected such confidence and such bravado to Jesus and the others. "Even if all fall away, I will not," he had said, and yet in the end, he caved. He got scared. He didn't stand up. He denied even knowing Jesus. So what about that? What does Peter's failure have to do with you and me? How can his story have an impact upon our lives? That's what I want to talk about today. This sad episode of Peter's story can neatly be divided into a four-act drama. So let's think about that. In Act 1, Peter fails his Lord. Post fails in the comments. After his arrest, Jesus was taken inside the high priest's house where he was being subjected to kangaroo court justice by hate-filled enemies with execution on their minds. Meanwhile, Peter is outside in the courtyard warming his hands by fire, listening to the guards and servants laugh about this holy man Jesus. "He looks so high and mighty teaching in the temple," they said, "but he's in a real mess of trouble now." And then a servant girl begins to quiz Peter. "Aren't you one of his followers?" Peter answered, "No." But when she kept coming back and asking again, Peter got even more agitated. Mark 14:71 finally reads, "He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, 'I don't know this man you're talking about.'" Then, as Jesus had predicted, Peter heard a rooster crow. Suddenly, he realized he had denied his Lord. Can we identify with Simon Peter? Well, if we've ever failed the Lord or someone else very important in our lives, we can. If we've seen a marriage crumble into pain and tragedy of divorce, we can. If we've seen a teenager get into drugs or alcohol or run afoul of the law and have tortured ourselves with the questions, "How did we fail them?" we can. If we've ever gotten our family or business into a mess by unwise decisions, we can relate to Simon Peter. If we've lost our temper and said things that fouled up an important relationship, we can relate. If we've identified with any of these circumstances or others like them, we can sympathize with the big fisherman. In the heat of the moment, Peter failed the Lord. He failed to live up to his own expectations. In Act 2 of this story, Jesus looked at Peter in the midst of his failure. In Luke 22:61, the scripture says, "The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times.'" As Luke recounted the story in his gospel, Jesus saw Peter after his denial. At one point, Jesus was being transferred from the high priest's house to the headquarters of Pontius Pilate. You can visit the site believed to be the high priest's house's location in Israel today. And no doubt, Jesus' face was bleeding. He had been beaten and slapped around. As the soldiers led Jesus through the courtyard, he passed Simon Peter. It's then that their eyes no doubt met, and Peter would never forget that look. There was disappointment and sorrow in it, but not an ounce of anger or malice. In fact, Jesus was full of care and compassion. What artist could paint that look? Disappointed, yet affirming. Caring, yet pained. If only Judas could have seen that look, perhaps he would not have gone out and hung himself. No one would ever give up or despair after any failure if they could see that same loving and compassionate look of Jesus. It was that look that Peter couldn't get out of his mind. Here's a question. What image of Jesus do you have in the midst of your own failures? Do you see Jesus stern and angry, or do you see him disappointed and pained, yes, but also caring and compassionate? Even in disappointment, Jesus extends us grace. In Acts 3 of this story, Peter wept good tears. Not all tears are good. Some tears express despair or hate, anger, or selfish frustration, but Peter wept good tears, tears that cleansed him of his pride, arrogance, and self-sufficiency. Mark 14:72 simply says, "And he broke down and wept." I imagine that Peter never forgot the memory of that look the rest of his life. I imagine that he revisited that look from Jesus whenever he felt failure in his discipleship. In the immediacy of the moment, sure, there was a flood of guilt, there was bitter sorrow, there were tears, perhaps deep sobs. There was heartfelt emotion, honest remorse, sincere repentance. Think of how you might have felt and how you would have responded. Peter wept good tears of remorse and repentance, and sometimes we do too. And that is good. We need to be cleansed of our heartache and pain, as well of our guilt and shame. In the fourth act of this story, Peter was restored. Post restored in the comments. It began on Easter morning when the women, bless their hearts, who were the last at the cross and the first at the tomb, those women met an angel at the tomb of Jesus. And the angel said in Mark 16:7, "Tell the disciples, especially Peter, that Jesus will meet them in Galilee." Isn't that wonderful? The angel knew of Peter's sorrow and grief and struggle. How do you think it made Peter feel to hear what the angel had said? Don't you know Peter was thrilled by the message? Tell the disciples, and especially Peter. In Luke's gospel, we find that the risen Christ eventually appeared to Peter individually. We don't have any details about what transpired, but surely we can guess. Peter probably began pouring out his remorse, but Jesus interrupted him in the middle of it and said, "That's all forgiven, big guy. I've got plans for you. You are going to be my rock, my rocky yet." The most moving encounter between Peter and Jesus is found in John 21. Peter and the disciples were at the Sea of Galilee. The risen Christ had prepared breakfast for the tired disciples who had fished all night. After breakfast, Jesus asked Peter one question three times. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all else?" Peter became nervous and even agitated that he had to answer this same question three times. Only later did he realize what Jesus was trying to do. Earlier, Peter had denied Jesus three times. Now, he was given three chances to replace those denials with affirmations. And so we read in John 21:17 about the third affirmation. The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus saw past Simon's failure. He knew of God's bigger plans. Jesus restored Peter as the leader of the disciples. And can you guess where Jesus sent Peter next? Well, eventually, right back to Jerusalem, right back to the very place that he had failed so miserably. And there, remember, just a few weeks later, after being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it was Peter who preached to a huge crowd, and some 3,000 persons committed their lives to Christ on that day. You know, so often God picks us up after a failure, changes us in vital ways, empowers us, and then sends us right back to the place where we fell on our faces. And why? To claim that battlefield for Christ and His kingdom, to plant the flag of victory where we had earlier run up the white flag of surrender. Get this, our Lord can even bend our failures to some good purpose. We can learn from our failures. The great golfer Bobby Jones once said, "I never learned anything from a golf tournament that I won. I learned golf from the ones I lost." Similarly, our Lord removes from our failures their power to maim us and uses them for our instruction. Failures need not be fatal. Give them to Christ and let Him redeem them. He can send you back into the fray as a winner. Old, erratic, impulsive Simon Peter finally lived up to his nickname. He did become the dominant leader of the early church. Legend has it that Peter died in Rome during Emperor Nero's persecution, and tradition tells us that Peter was crucified, but he told his executioners that he was not worthy to die like his Lord. So he requested and was granted the right to be crucified upside down. Simon Peter had become the rock, rocky. Jesus can make a winner out of any loser, even people like you and me. It's just a matter of saying three things to Jesus and meeting them sincerely. First, "I'm sorry for my blunders, my failures, my sins." Secondly, "I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross to save me." And third, "I'd invite you, Jesus, to rule, to take charge of, to be the leader of my life." using it for your glory. Anyone who says those three simple things to Jesus Christ is on the way to becoming a solid rock Christian too. Failures need not be fatal. Give them to Christ and let Him redeem them. He is the one who can restore you and send you back into the fray as a winner. Remember this, in Christ, you can be restored and become a solid rock Christian too. Amen? Amen. Let's pray about that. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we know what it is to fail in our discipleship. There are just those times when we even deny that we know You, either by what we do or by what we fail to do. But Peter's story reminds us that our failures need not be fatal. As we continue to look to Jesus, as we allow His love and compassion to penetrate our hearts and our lives, we can be restored. O Lord, restore us again today and every day. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to hear from you. We want to be praying with you. Use the app or the website, and thank you for your generosity as well. You know, your ongoing gifts are helping us to continue to reconnect and re-engage with one another, as well as reach new people for Jesus and His kingdom. You can go online and use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities and find all the information that you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, failure doesn't have to be fatal. Peter blew it, but was restored. You can be restored too. For now, who else needs to know Jesus can redeem failures and restore people too?
You know, I just cannot believe how high gas prices are getting.
They're high.
But chimneys through the roof.
Holy Week is such an important season in our faith walk. Join us all week for special services. We have a passionate Palm Sunday parade, Maundy Thursday remembrance, an interactive Good Friday event, and three Easter services, including a sunrise service at La Fortune Park. See the newsletter or go online for times and details.
Lenten practices are so important to prepare your heart. One practice is the gift of service. On Thursday, April 7th at 6:30 p.m., join Christ Church at City Lights. City Lights offers warm meals, clothing, and essential items to those in need. Sign up at the Connect Center or contact Pastor Jim with questions.
The first Wednesday in April, we'll be hearing from Operation Hope, a ministry that helps incarcerated parents and grandparents stay connected with their children while in prison. We're collecting men and women's socks and underwear. Join us April 6th at 5:30 p.m. for a meal, a mission, and a message from Sherry Bushman and our own Ken Miracle.
You can find all this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
It's Daddy. I found a great book for you down here at Bedtime Stories, and I know you're going to like it. Daddy used to watch the television show all the time. Wishbone, the Mutt in the Iron Mask. This is one mutt who won't be muzzled for long. Now I'm going to read the rest of the back of the book for you. Now I'm going to let you finish reading the whole book. Damon Jones is running unopposed for class president and wants to keep it that way. He hatches a plot to keep Joe Talbot busy as catcher for the traveling Little League team.